Let me begin by asking you a question. Is being a Christian a sacrifice? I don't know whether you've ever thought about it. Is being a Christian a sacrifice? Does the Christian life involve the offering up of anything or things for the sake of following the Lord Jesus? We meet people who say they're Christian, who don't seem to have given up anything to follow Christ, and frankly, they don't seem to think that there is any need to. Well, today is our Sacrifice Sunday. It's a challenge to us as Christian people who belong to this church to sacrifice ourselves and to sacrifice financially for the sake of expanding the ministry we do in this area. Our finances are one area where we can and even should be challenged to sacrifice ourselves for the sake of God's kingdom and his mission in the world. Is it fair? Is it right to ask, challenge, to demand of one another that we sacrifice ourselves, our lifestyles, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the gospel going out into Castlereagh and Cranbrook and Jordan Springs and beyond there into all the world? Well, our answer starts with Jesus, the Christ that we follow. And then we'll work our way back to us. Firstly, sacrifice, the model lived out by Jesus. When Jesus had his disciples gathered together and they confessed, "Jesus, you are the Christ, God's anointed King," Jesus went on to say to them in Luke chapter 9, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels." To follow Jesus is to sacrifice your life. To follow Jesus is to take up your cross. It's to give up your life. Now, these words of Jesus come hot on the heels of his declaration that he himself would do just that. In verse 22 of Luke 9, we read that he would suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. Jesus made that declaration of his self-sacrifice not because he saw that it was an inevitable writing on the wall that he couldn't escape, or not because he saw that his mission was going all belly up and if he said this, at least it would sort of save some face. He made that declaration because his life is given as a sacrifice. To do that was the very heart of his mission. Jesus, although king, didn't come to be served, but to serve. And how? By giving his life as a ransom for many. Jesus didn't live to please himself. He put his own desires to one side. And as Romans 15 says in verse 3, "For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." Jesus, the one who said to his disciples, "Take up your cross daily and follow me," didn't live to fit what met his own desires into his world. Jesus sacrificed himself so that the reproaches, the insults of those who insulted you, that being God, those reproaches fell on Jesus. Jesus, who says, take up your cross and follow me, was at the cross bearing on himself all the contempt that sinful humanity heaped and would heap on God. Jesus bore it all. We heard a part of Psalm 69 a bit earlier, the lament, the cry of the righteous sufferer. And we heard the distress. And now here in the New Testament, Psalm 69 is applied to Jesus and his supreme act of self-sacrificial giving, God showing his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus willingly bore the wrath of God for our insults and the insults of the world against the glory of God. And it's this King, this gracious Saviour, who calls on us to sacrifice our lives for him. Jesus was willing to suffer shame and pain and death for the sake of the greater glory of God displayed in our salvation. Jesus' sacrifice was to deliver us, his people by faith, deliver us from this present evil age. And we're called to imitate him. The Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. The Christ who, as Philippians says, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, humbled himself by becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross. This Jesus gave himself for us, to redeem us. And as we heard in the reading from Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, that is the model we Christians have. So, sacrifice? Why? Why follow the model of Jesus? Let me give you three quick reasons. Firstly, we belong to him by creation. Revelation chapter 4, we read, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. And as believers, we know the Lord. He is God, says Psalm 100. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We belong to him by creation. Which leads us to the second reason. We belong to him by redemption. Jesus' sacrificial death was to redeem us, to set us free, to give us new life. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20, you find that it reminds us that we're not our own. We are bought with a price. So we are called to glorify God in our body through the life we live. Jesus was slain, and by his blood he ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And he's made us a kingdom and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. To follow his model, to take up our cross daily and follow him, to put aside what we desire, to sacrifice our desires for his glory, that is to live the life of the redeemed, the life of the truly free person. 1 Peter chapter 2 says to us, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants. That is, living as slaves of God. Why should we follow the model of Jesus? We belong to him by creation. We belong to him by redemption. And thirdly, all we have is given to us by God. It's very easy to find our minds slide into that situation where we think that we've made it all by ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 challenged that thinking. What do you have, it says, that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you didn't receive it? All we have is from God. The two services this morning, and often in our evening service, we sing these words from the hymn, My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness. For every day I have on earth is given by the King. So I will give my life, my all, to love and follow him. St. Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6 reminds us, God richly provides us with everything to enjoy. We are to do good and to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. And in doing this, we are storing up treasure for ourselves as a good foundation for the future, so that we may take hold of that which is truly life. Sacrifice is modeled by Jesus, and we should follow that model. So what does that look like? Well, sacrifice is giving ourselves. As Christians, we're called to sacrifice ourselves to the kingdom of God, the mission of proclaiming Christ to all nations. There are a few here who love September because it's footy finals time. And if you listen to the commentators over these next few weeks, you will hear lines like this. Sacrificing themselves for the team. Sacrificing themselves for glory. If you're one of those who has to live with somebody who lives for September, keep them thinking about how that term is used. Remind them that they're talking about something as inane and meaningless as football. And then get them thinking about sacrifice or the gospel. Maybe they'll sacrifice themselves and their footy watching for you. What does it look like to sacrifice ourselves for Team Christ? For the glory of the kingdom of God, for his reign. You see, that sacrifice is not just some sort of 12-month thing that lasts because your particular team is on the top of the table, but next year they're wooden spooners. That sacrifice is forever, giving ourselves to a cause that is forever. And what does it look like to sacrifice ourselves for that? Well, firstly, we give ourselves to God. In the book of Romans, at the end of his explaining the nature of salvation and what Jesus has done, Paul appeals to his Roman friends that by the mercies of God they might present themselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, he says, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Sacrifice means giving ourselves to God. It also means giving ourselves to one another. Christ unites us in his family. And following his model of sacrificial love, we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Jesus laid down his life with a goal. That goal was our redemption, our salvation. We lay down our lives for one another with a goal which the Apostle Paul put this way. We proclaim Jesus in Colossians chapter 1, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this, he says, I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Giving ourselves to God. Giving ourselves to one another. Giving ourselves to holy living with that new identity as redeemed people. As redeemed people, we live a new life. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, says St. Paul, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. The old life of sin is to be set aside. The new life in Christ is to be lived as his distinct and holy people. The writer of the book of Proverbs put it like this. He said to his son in chapter 23, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. And connected to holy living is giving ourselves to the service of God. At the end of 1 Corinthians 15, that marvelous chapter about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and the resurrection of believers, St. Paul says this, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. That's a very important truth for us to grasp, because the Christian life is not always smooth. Jesus described it as a narrow way. Adam in these notes said it's rather like the putty road rather than the highway heading north. Well, that may well be the case. But the basic question is this. How do I live this life that I've been given? How do I use the gifts that I've been given to the service and glory of God? And that leads us to remind ourselves that we need to be giving ourselves to a life of self-denial. Sitting in his prison cell, having recalled his marvelous family tree with all the traditions that went back with it and the outstandingly good life that he'd lived, the Apostle Paul could write these words in Philippians chapter 3. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. The Christian life is to be radically different. You remember a few weeks ago that Toby led us through a series of sermons on 1 Peter, and you remember the theme that the Christians are aliens in this world. We are called to live not for ourselves, but for others. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, says St. Paul, do all to the glory of God, giving no offence to Jews or to Greeks or to the Church of God. And just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved, you, he says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. For us, this means a change of lifestyle. And the last point points out what that really is. We are to give ourselves to martyrdom. The extent of following the Lord Jesus is such that we should be prepared to put our life on the line for the sake of the kingdom. In many places around the world this very night, our brothers and sisters are being martyred and suffering because they are standing up for Christ. We ought to pray that God will give them strength to stand firm in the face of even the most vile treatment, and that they will stand firm knowing what it is that awaits them, a crown of glory that cannot be taken away, no matter how horrific and how terrifying this life gets. St. Paul says, I do not account my life of any value, nor is it as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. That's the challenge of take up your cross and follow me. That's what Christian life is all about. Testifying to the gospel of the grace of God, that though he was rich, for our sake he became poor, so that we might, through his poverty, become rich. So where does this all end? It ends standing before our risen and reigning King and Saviour, the Lord we laboured for. In a moment of concern, the Apostle Peter asked Jesus, where does it all end? Using what we might judge to be very modern language. He said in Matthew 19, we've left everything and followed you. What then will we have? Jesus said to him and to all those who were listening, truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. And the Apostle Paul was so confident in what Jesus had said and the truth of what Jesus had said that in Philippians chapter 1 he declares boldly, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labour for me. My desire is to part and to be with Christ, for that's far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. My Christian friends, the challenge is to sacrifice our lives in every part for the sake of seeing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ ringing in all around the world. Don't be fearful. The scripture says to us, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonables be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Or as Fiona read to us a little while ago, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Friends, that's what we're called to. Will you pray with me? God and Father, we pray that by our reading, by our reflection, by our talking together, you will raise up before our eyes a clear, unmistakable vision of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us. And with our eyes fixed on him, please shape us, so that we might live as your servants, your slaves, ready to do whatever it is that you've called us to. Help us to live in this way in our relationship with you. Help us to live this way in our relationship with one another. Help us in all things, we pray, to live for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.